60% of salespeople, when they hit an obstacle, they will point their finger at someone else or something else and start playing the blame game. 60%. Sometimes I think that in our culture, it's 90%. But we know that leaders, I mean, one of the reasons that you're a leader is that you don't play victim mode and you don't play blame game. You look at what might I do to move the ball forward.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that whether you're driving in your car or on the treadmill or pounding the pavement, wherever you are when you listen to podcasts, that you are ready for a great show today. I am welcoming back a guest for part two of a conversation that we have had on the topic of millennials. So Danita Bai is our guest today. Danita, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
If you missed part one, I do want to urge you, if you are anyone who has influence on anyone, that you go back. We talked about the why this topic of pouring into millennials and helping them become the strongest that they can be, both corporately, also personally, why that's important and why we have to pick up that mantle and do that. So please check out our first podcast with Danita. It was a fantastic conversation. I learned so much from you, Danita. But also, we mentioned that you have recently released your new book, Millennial Matters. So there is a great resource that we're going to be referring to, and we definitely encourage you to get your hands on that as well. So Danita, I want to just kind of pick up where we were in our conversation the last time that we were able to talk. You had an opportunity to interview leaders, and then you've also, in your resource, brought in millennials. And so maybe you can kind of give us the dilemma from both the perspective of business leaders, and then if you could, to represent the millennials, so that we kind of see where we are, and then we can talk practically where we go from here.
The dilemma from a business leader's that came out of our millennial survey is that 60% of business leaders do have concerns about the millennials that they're working with. And there were three categories: character concerns, confidence, and collaboration. And so those are really the three category sections in Millennials Matter. There was another interesting reaction when I talked with many business leaders about writing a book on millennials. And they said, "Ah, oh, come on, Danita. What does a baby boomer know about millennials? What would you have to say?" So that was a bit of a personal challenge to me. I did two things. One is that I talked with my son, Weston, and I said, "Weston, what would I have to say?" His reaction was something that's important for all of us to know. He says, "Mom, there's a ton load of talking heads out there, but what we really need is someone who's going to come along and walk beside us and show us how to live." I thought that was pretty powerful.
Absolutely. I think in your book, I was looking, and you have some great insight from millennials within your resource. I think you called them a word from a millennial throughout the book, and there's some quotes in there. One of them that I thought was fascinating and important for somebody who is older than the millennial generation to maybe reflect upon, one of the quotes in there said, "Millennials don't want to feel like projects for the previous generation to fix, in part because we often feel like the previous generation is the one that needs fixing."
Yes.
Now, that can kind of be a little bit offensive to generations ahead of millennials, but I think it's also an important little swallow of humility for us. Mm-hmm. How have you seen millennials that you have worked with on this project? Where have they come to you, and where have you seen their openness and their desire to become all that God wants them to be and all that they could be as leaders?
I've actually seen their openness in all areas. In response to the pushback that I was getting about, Oh, Danita, what would you have to say about millennials? I also invited 12 millennials that I respect to review the entire manuscript and give me feedback. And so that's where one of those comments came from. That was insightful because all of them had a similar theme. And the similar theme is that we want a mentor and a coach. We don't want a boss. We want a mentor and a coach, and we want someone who's going to be authentic and real. And that can be a tough one because sometimes older generations want to always put forth that everything's been shiny and smooth. They don't trust the pretty, shiny, smooth pictures. They want to hear about real life. They want to know, when you failed, what did you do? What did you learn? They want authentic, real conversations with people they work with.
Danita, let me stop you right there because there's several things that you just said that have my mind going. The first is when you hear that they want a mentor and a coach, but they don't want a boss.
Mm-hmm.
I get it on some levels, but if I'm a boss out there, I might actually roll my eyes when I hear that. Like, well, sure, nobody wants a boss. I mean, welcome to the world. We all want to be in control of ourselves. How do you process that in the context of everything that you've learned? And what would you say to that boss that hears that and it kind of makes them step back and not want to lean forward into the mentoring and coaching and kind of resent that, isn't that falling into the stereotype of millennials that they don't want to have authority over them?
So much of my business experience comes from building high-performance sales teams. And one of the core principles in understanding salespeople is that salespeople always work for themselves. They don't really work for the company. I mean, it looks like it. But for them to get out and to handle the rejection that they do every day and to get up and to fall down and keep getting up, fall down, keep getting up, that it has to be their reason that they're working. And as we study motivation, lots of different drivers. But one of the things that I learned in building a high-performance sales team is that you have to understand that person's why. And that once you understand that person's why, and once you can get an understanding of where they want to go, what their goals are, and as you come along to help them achieve their goals, you will have people who will do amazing things. And in reality, that's all human. And especially this younger generation, they want to know our why, and they want us to understand their why or help them to find their why, to help them find their, I call it in the book, I call it core purpose, to help them find their core purpose, their pathway. And as a leader, when we help our people do that, we will get loyalty, we will get productivity, we will get retention, we will get all of the business and leadership outcomes that we want. Start with really caring enough about the person to listen to them and to come alongside them.
Danita, some of this, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it goes back to just treating people the way they want to be treated. We may not understand. They may have a different motivation, but for a boss to get the results that he wants, he or she is going to have to understand this shift. And while not every millennial is the same, one of your other quotes from a millennial in your book said, "I'm not a trend, I'm an individual." And so I think we have to keep that in mind during this entire conversation. But what you just spoke to specifically within the sales realm makes so much sense. It has been true from way before this generation that you need to understand what motivates someone in order for them to be able to be successful on your team and accomplish what you hope they will in that role.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when I'm continuing to process working with millennials is that many of us as leaders, we know good leadership principles. I mean, we know them. We know that we should spend time to get to know our people and what their goals and what their directives are. Older generations would put up with it if a leader didn't execute well. The younger generation, they may not put up with it because they have the freedom to go find a leader who is going to be that mentor and to be the person that will invest into them.
Danita, while you use that word mentor again, I noticed that in Millennials Matter, you talked about the difference between coaching and mentoring. I wonder if you might paint that picture for our audience.
Yes, because it is a interesting distinction. Mentoring, I might put in the category of a little bit more hanging out.
Okay.
You know, because there's two-way and there may not be quite as clear of an agenda that we're working with. There's going to be a lot more authenticity that happens. Whereas coaching, I see as more directive and a little bit more skill-oriented in what you're working with. And then I would submit you've got coaching, mentoring, and then there's what's becoming even more prevalent, or it's growing in prevalence, is apprenticeship.
When you say apprenticeship, is that in the traditional context that most people would understand that, that there's someone kind of shadowing behind you in a role?
In many cases, yes. And one of the reasons that companies are looking at the apprenticeship model is because it can be a effective way of transferring insight, wisdom, knowledge that you've gathered over the years. So it's kind of a little bit of an on-the-job shadowing and training and working together.
Danita, one of my observations, and correct me if I'm wrong, certainly, one of the things that kind of struck me as I was reading this, that mentoring really felt to me much more of a holistic approach, much more of caring about not just the task needing to be accomplished by the person in that role, but what millennials are wanting is someone to holistically pour into them. Is that a fair assessment of maybe a difference between coaching and mentoring?
I do think that is a fair. One of the first issues that we tackle is character, where 45% of leaders express some concern about character issues, from lack of grit and determination to tackle projects, maybe compromised ethics, blaming anyone and anything for lack of performance. And in the book, I outline a process or the topics that we would cover as we're mentoring character. Things like determination and awareness and accountability, trustworthiness. And as you think about those topics, those are not topics that you can go online and take a course on. Those are topics that are lived and work with. And let's take determination and resilience. That is an example. For many millennials, and maybe this would be people in general, that when they hit an obstacle, they quit. So as a leader, to come alongside to share our story about times that we hit an obstacle and what we did and what we learned, and then to be able to ask questions to help them build their own resilience and to explore options and creativity so that they can get back on track again for attempt number two or attempt number three or to keep back at it. That's where that encouraging mentorship comes along as we share together. So they want the holistic part.
Well, and I think back to so many times as leaders, if we look back in our opportunity over our lifetime, how many of us that are walking and breathing now have had those pitfalls, have had those roadblocks, have had those times where everything came into question and we had to decide if we were going to get back up and keep going or not. And we have, by the fact that we're still leading, I think, is evidence of that and what it would mean to someone who's facing that, who feels like they're all alone and that they can't do it, to hear from someone they respect. I've been in your shoes before, and this is how I was able to, with character, move forward.
The other area that goes right along with that is that we know from our work with sales organizations. So this is a small slice of the American public. Of sales organizations, that 60% of salespeople, when they hit an obstacle, they will point their finger at someone else or something else and start playing the blame game. 60%. Sometimes I think that in our culture, it's 90%. But we know that leaders, I mean, one of the reasons that you're a leader is that you don't play victim mode and you don't play blame game. You look at what might I do to move the ball forward, to make progress, to get momentum. That is a place where they desperately need our leadership and mentoring, is to be able to demonstrate in our own lives where we've challenged ourselves, and then to challenge them to also think about creative options for moving forward.
Danita, one of the things that I love about your book is the format of it. This is really addressed to leaders across the spectrum, and all of us as leaders are really busy. Probably all of us have a stack of books we're trying to get through. You've designed it very practically that people can just pick it up and a leader could read 3 or 4 pages and actually walk away with some suggestions, some steps, some practical ways to address these 3 major areas. I wonder if in the time that we've got remaining, maybe we could hit 1 example in each of those. We've talked about character, confidence, and collaboration. On the topic of character, I want to throw one out to you, because as I was looking through it, you talked about the importance of having both character and courage, that you can't have one without the other. Could you explain that and maybe give a practical way that a leader might be able to address this?
Well, many of us know people who are, I think we do, who have lots of courage. I mean, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to accomplish things, but underneath it all, they're maybe manipulative or suspect on the character side. So we don't want to be that. On the other hand, we also don't want to have people who are high character, but they keep it hidden. So how do we develop this balance? One of the ways of doing that is for leaders to discuss some of their own ethical issues that they're dealing with, and to talk through both what are the ethical issues, and I actually include a list of questions that you could walk through as you weigh through the pros and cons on ethical issues. So that's on the character side. And then on the courage side is to talk through how do you position what might be some questions that you could ask that would begin to challenge the system that you're in to consider the ethics. So interestingly, there's a questioning strategy on both sides. There's a questioning strategy on the character side as you evaluate the pros and cons and various options moving forward. And there's a questioning that comes on the courage side about how do we challenge the system, whether it's a family system or an organization, how do we engage and challenge us to be able to think about the broader issues?
The great thing about what you've provided a template that can be individualized to every context. So different businesses, different priorities, different setups within organizations. But the questions, I think, are transferable, and that leaders can take them and adjust them to their particular mentor or mentee, I should say. Maybe you could address the need for millennials to lead with confidence. Some of our listeners might think, wow, I didn't think confidence was an issue. Why is that an important area for a leader to address with their millennials?
Well, at first glance, millennials do seem to be hyper-confident. Here's the challenge. Harvard Business Review recently published an article based on some research at Yale, and the title of the article is "The Internet Makes You Think You Are Smarter Than You Are." So what's happening with our millennials is they have all this knowledge at their fingertips, and they think they know it all because they can find it on Google and YouTube. The problem is that Google and YouTube does not necessarily tell you all the things that could go wrong once you start out on your pathway. They hit that roadblock, and many crumble. So that's where we as leaders can begin to come alongside and help them develop a deep-rooted confidence. There's a couple of strategies that I talk about. One we've already mentioned is to help our millennials to articulate their why. In the book, I call it core purpose. And then also along with that is to help them strengthen their personal responsibility and their resilience scores. And that comes from mentoring and encouraging them.
Danita, I think specific to this audience that's listening, we are here wanting to lead like Jesus, that is what you just talked about is so critical, that we are built on a firm foundation. When that is knocked over because it's been built on the sand, that we as believers that are in leadership are there to be able to guide and help and point young men and women to what is timeless and what will stand and what can give them a humble confidence that they're making the right decisions and that they're doing it with character that you referenced earlier.
Absolutely.
Before we wrap up for today, just address engaging with collaboration. Why is that an important topic to leaders out there right now?
Well, what we're hearing is that when it comes to texting, the millennials are experts. However, if there's something that doesn't involve texting and potentially involves conflict, that they're seeing concerns, whether it's conversations where there's a difference of opinion, conflict resolution, multi-generational teamwork. These are situations where millennials can have a tendency to either shut down or minimally they don't ask questions to stay engaged with those who are thinking differently. Another article that came out recently in, of all magazines, Scientific American, who has some research on whether we are arguing to win or arguing to learn. That research just really seemed to resonate with what we're talking about in millennials' manners, because so much of the time we are having a conversation so that we can win the other person over to our side of thinking, when in reality, what's going to be most productive is if we're building relationships and having conversations in order to learn.
Danita, I have read most of your book. My thought was, as I was driving in today, was I really want to order a copy of this for each of my children who are millennials and us read this and dialogue, because I think there is so much that we can learn from one another. And some of these areas that are areas that need to be strengthened are character issues, both in us and in them, that would open up a fantastic conversation. And I could see that in the workplace being an effective tool as well, just disarming people and being able to have a conversation about these things that are so important to both the individual success of the millennial, but also to the success of the corporation and to the leaders who've invested so much time in it. I can't thank you enough, Danita, for investing your time and energy and taking your experience and directing it here to where you sense that the Lord has wanted you to come and to reach into millennials. For anybody who wants to connect with you in your resources, could you one more time give us your website and where they can also find Millennials Matter?
They can find Millennials Matter on Amazon. Yes, it's there. And also on my website, Danita Bai. D-A-N-I-T-A-C-Y-E, DanitaBai.com. If they'd like to take a 2-minute millennial survey, I will send them a complimentary autograph to Millennials Matter.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that many leaders will take advantage of that. Again, you can go to Amazon or to DanitaBai.com, D-A-N-I-T-A. lead.bye.com. And if you want more information on Lead Like Jesus, would you please go to leadlikejesus.com, and we'll see you next time.